Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. I'm Corinne Fornari with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And today's show is really quite interesting from the fact that we decided about the topic by a deep dive I was doing down the rabbit hole of the internet. And I saw a documentary on young girls in the Sahara who are being taken to a tent to force feed them so they will look pretty and attractive, so people, they'll look like they have more wealth, and they'll
get a husband,
and so they can get a husband. So some, a male will choose them. These young girls were 10 years old, and the oldest was 13, so 10, 11, 12, and there was one that was 13. And they were being force-fed a special diet, and you would see the mothers all lovingly preparing this food for their daughters so their daughters could look beautiful in preparation for marriage. And they were feeding them a diet of 9,000 to 1,200, 9,000 to 12,000 calories a day. So the girls would be eating, they'd have to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner of this fermented gruel, and they would be vomiting. It showed them vomiting and holding their stomachs. They couldn't sit up. And there they were doing this with their mothers. They were asked, well, what do you think? And they said, well, I want to be beautiful, so I'll be chosen as a bride. And they'd say, well, what do you think of your mother who's doing this? Oh, she loves me. She's doing this for love. As the kids were vomiting and lying on mats in the middle of the desert, they had a special tent built for them for this ritual. So I spoke with Carol about what I had seen in this documentary, and she says, oh my gosh, she said, what an amazing thing about body image.
And what so off we go.
Today we're going to talk about body image and how it differs in different areas. The woman doing the filming was an attractive Arabic woman, looked possibly Moroccan. And she wasn't fat, but she wasn't skinny like many of our TV personalities are. She was just perfect weight. And she asked the young girls, what do you think about the way I look? And they said, oh, you're just too skinny. She was a very attractive woman. You're just too skinny. And then she showed the young girls Vogue magazine pictures. And there were these skinny women in these tight clothes in strange poses. And they all started to giggle because they thought the women looked horrible. And then they were shown a picture of Kardashian with the big waist, skinny waist and big, big hips. And they all thought that was attractive. So our attractiveness and what we're willing to go through and their attractiveness and what they're willing to go through, the only thing that is consistent with both of them is that we force ourselves into behaviors that are not equivalent to our best health. We would like to bring you in on this conversation. There are very few people that will not have an opinion on this or that have not gone through this in their own right. So let me give you the phone number so you can call us. We're willing to take calls. Don't wait till the end. Everybody waits till the end and rushes with big, long questions. Don't do that. Not necessary. 212-209-2877. But the next step is coming back to this country, and we have a crisis of overweight. The children in New York City, there's 13% that are overweight. And additionally, a 27% that are considered morbidly overweight and obese. That's our children.
In the adults.
Are there more statistics on this, Carol?
Yeah. In a population of over 8 million people in New York City, 57% of adults are obese.
57% obese. That's not overweight. That's obese.
Overweight, probably. So that's staggering.
That's staggering. So now we have Novo Nordisk, which has created a drug that we can eat anything we want, and we can take this drug once a week, and we will lose weight.
It's and you
magic.
Do.
It's magic.
It's magic.
But you want to start us out, Carol? Why and how and does this work? And we're going to go through the why, hows, does this work, the doses. We're going to go through the alternatives, and we're going to go through some of the side effects that might be experienced while taking this drug. Carol, you want to start?
Okay, so we focus in on a drug called Ozempic, and it is, the generic name is semaglutide. It's a peptide, and its intended purpose is to be like a hormone that you yourself make in your intestines. It's quite interesting. We didn't characterize this until the 1990s, so this is pretty new information. So it's called GLP-1, and that stands for glucagon-like peptide. And the GLP-1 is supposed to do all sorts of wonderful things. It stimulates your secretion of insulin, and that would be to help the glucose get into your cell. But it prevents you from having low blood sugar. It slows down gastric emptying. It kind of leads to one of its side effects. There's constipation, nausea, diarrhea. It enhances your satiety. So you feel full on very little food. So it's gotten all of a sudden very popular. This was derived from a similar molecule that's actually found in the intestines of the Gila monster, that kind of the lizard-like creature. So it comes from Gila monster venom. And why we're using this particular thing is this derivative of GLP-1 lasts a long time. So people are able to do an injection once a week. It has to be injected because it's a peptide. If you take it orally, the first thing you do is your protein or acids for absorption, so it'll be destroyed. If you didn't do it by injection, you wouldn't have the activity. The length of activity, again, is from the Gila monster. Corinne?
And it was created as a drug for diabetes, but understand, as a diabetes drug, it was given at 240% reduced dose. This is a new dosage, and this very high dose, I got a dog that's going crazy right behind me. This very high dose allows a once a week dosing. So you have a very high dose throughout the week. It takes a little while for your body to build up and maintain that dose. Now, formerly it was given at 0.5 milligrams for diabetes. Now it's given at 2.40 milligram weekly. And we really, the study of it in terms of long-term, which allows the stimulation of the GLP-1 peptide continuously in the body day and night for over a week, we don't know the results of that. There was a really compelling study that was done by Novo Nordisk, which is the creator of this drug and this dose. And it was a very compelling study in that it was a 68-week study of 1,900 people. And that's a really significant study, 68 weeks, 1,900 people. And what it showed, it had a control group. They were all given the same diet, and they had very good compliance. Every week they came in to get a shot. One group was given just an inert shot, and the other group was given the Ozempic. And what they showed was, in the Ozempic group, they had a 15%, 14.9% body weight loss. And in the other group, the control, they had a 2% body weight loss. That's a significant difference. Now, we have to also understand, and this might mean nothing, but I'm bringing it up, that everybody, there were 15 participants in the study who published the study and signed it off, and every single one of them worked for Novo Nordisk. So
you think they weren't biased at all?
I think they were, but they did note multiple side effects. Some of them were nausea. Some of them were bloating. Some of them were diarrhea. Some of them were constipation. And what they found was that literally...
I have a few more. I don't know if it was listed in the study, but why would... talking about side effects, pancreatitis, inflammation of the pancreas, where your insulin
can be very dangerous.
Vision changes, even cause low blood sugar. It can. Kidney problems, and that seemed to be a significant risk. In fact, if you have any kind of kidney dysfunction, you should never use this. Allergic reactions, gallbladder problems, thyroid tumors, and even thyroid cancer. I guess those were more rare. This hasn't been really out on the market very much, like I said. Just in 1990 have they discovered the whole concept of GLP-1.
Not at this dose. It has never been out of them. It's relatively new. And it became very popular when Kim Kardashian took it so she could look good before the Met Gala. And she wrote it up. And that was it. People just flocked to their doctors to get this pill. Now, there are a few things that this pill, first of all, right now, it's on back order. It's not a pill, it's injection, I'm sorry. This medical treatment. But it can range from $1,200 to $1,600 a month, and your insurance doesn't pay for it unless you're diabetic. And even then, the doctor has to fight for it, and it would be on a different dose. But even at the lower dose, they were seeing weight loss within diabetics. So
So
let's.
I also found a commentary with Dr. Simon Uveren, and he described people having used Ozempic, that their skin becomes saggy, and he talks about a deflated butt.
Ooh.
But no problem, because he's ready to inject fillers for you. And then he has therapies, ultrasound devices, and things like that to strengthen your skin.
Yeah, because what
Sounds
fine.
like you'll make money coming and going.
Yes. I've heard that before, coming and going. But so what
Let's give the phone number out again.
Oh, the phone number is 202-209-2877. Give us a call. This can be a very lively conversation. But what they found is people come in for these pills or this treatment. They're given the treatment, but they're not instructed on how to eat. So they're losing large amounts of weight without eating adequate protein. And that's what's causing the skin to sag, because they're breaking the collagen bonds. And the body is using up the fat without, and using up the muscle. What they're finding is very high muscle loss, because they're eating their regular SAD diet, which got them fat and got them unhealthy in the first place. And now they're taking these injections.
You made a real important point when we were speaking this morning. Maybe I could bring it up here.
Please.
There's another thing to consider, because this weight loss is so predictable and pretty much easy. People have an easy time of it, except for nausea and vomiting seem to be a little more common. But it was predicted that this could decimate the stomach bypass surgeries that they do for very obese people. And then you brought up this other amazing point, that it wasn't when you had the bypass surgery, it wasn't just because you were eating less, but the surgery increased your own GLP-1.
So,
That sort of blew me away when you brought that up.
yeah, so you have a natural, when the surgery happens, you have a natural increase in GLP-1. But you have to understand, GLP-1 is very important. It affects many centers in the brain. It affects the brain stem. It affects the pancreas. There are many receptors on the pancreas, on the liver, in the lungs. There are many receptors of GLP-1 in the lungs, and there are also many in the kidneys. So, and in muscles. But so, oh, did I say the heart and
No,
in
you
muscles?
missed the heart. I was waiting for the
No, okay, the heart. So we don't really know what saturating the body with GLP-1 will do to all the other organs, to the balance in your body. Will you be able that what they're finding is that when you lose the weight, you lose the weight, you lose massive amounts of muscle, but that can be counteracted with the correct diet and adequate protein. But at the same time, as you're losing that fat, you're gaining fat cells, but small fat cells. And what they find is when people go off of this medicine, they don't just gain their weight back. They gain their weight back and increase 10 to 20 pounds from their original weight. Whereas when people are dieting and dieting healthily, like if you go on intermittent fasting or if you go on keto diet, when you go off of it, let's say you lost 80 pounds on a keto diet, when you go off of it, you might gain 10, maybe 20 pounds back if it's really bad, but you don't gain naturally the whole amount back plus 10 to maximum 20 pounds higher. What we're seeing is the ketogenic diet brings up the metabolism and supports the muscle mass. Whereas this diet, with the way it is, with the severity of it, with no nutritional control, lowers the metabolism and lowers the muscle mass. So as a result, when you get off the diet, your metabolism is lower. Your thermogenic, your heat response in your body, which creates the energy, is lower. And so it's really something to consider, taking this. We have to also understand that I saw, in doing research for this pill, I saw a doctor, a woman who has now her whole practice has been converted to giving this Ozempic. She did not talk about changing people's diets at all. And she said, when people come to her and say to her, "Well, now I'm at the weight I want, can I get off?" And she tells them, "Well, I'm a hypertensive. My hypertension is now normal on pills. Can I get off?"
Injections, they're injections.
No, for the hypertension, it's pills.
Oh,
It's injections. And he says, "Can I get off of my pills?" And she said that, no. So this is a, they're touting it and putting it forward as a very long-term therapy. And the question happens is, what if you lose your job? What if your insurance is paying for it? And you can't continue to pay these prices. What happens then? You're just put in the position of gaining your weight back exactly. So when we saw that and saw that people on long term, there is a risk factor of obesity, and that's real. So using this medicine while you change your diet for 2, 3 months, up to 6 months, might not be a horrible thing while it kicks you forward. You've changed your diet, you're learning how to live, and you move forward from there. But as a continuous therapy, I think it really has to be thought out because we really don't know what that high dose is doing to our body, what it's doing to our pancreas, what it's doing to overstimulate the beta cells, the insulin producing cells in the pancreas. Carol?
Well, of course,
That's
I don't particularly like the pharmaceutical business in total. So I went to find out what else we could do that's more natural that we could use as a GLP-1 substitute to Ozempic.
stimulate.
And I found a few things.
Really good ones.
Berberine. Well, isn't this interesting? It's often recommended as an alternative to metformin, which is used for diabetes. And metformin, too, is one of the drugs for diabetes that people do lose weight with it. So berberine is a kind of an interesting choice. Our very old friend green tea. Huh. If you're a green tea drinker, that's pretty cool. Curcumin. Cinnamon. often are we told to add a little cinnamon to what we're doing for all kinds of things, for parasites and better digestion and whatnot. These were surprising to me. Wheat and soybeans. And with the soybeans, I kind of wonder if other beans are helpful too. I know of a doctor, I'm forgetting the name, he was on NPR, and he had a diet, and his diet included a cup of beans every day in some fashion. So I wonder if they were getting the GLP-1 activity out of those beans. Well, I like beans.
We know that the carb blockers that they were giving out and giving in pills were made from a cannellini bean. Really, it's a white bean. It's like a navy bean, and it was an extract from the cannellini bean. And you would take it before you eat, and what would happen, you'd have a reduced absorption of the carbs that were in the meal that you were eating. But there are other ways also. You mentioned green tea, but there's the supercharged green tea.
Matcha?
Matcha. Yerba buena. Yerba matcha. There are 45 studies showing the effectiveness of this tea on vasodilation. 13 of them directly are related to the lowering of insulin and changing insulin sensitivity on the cells. How many of us are drinking that tea? You drink it throughout the day. The Brazilians drink it all day long. And nobody's more famous for their bodies than the Brazilians, but they drink it all day long from when they're young. It has caffeine in it, so you don't want to drink it before bed, but that and green tea. But this is the it's like a supercharged green tea. It's like the steroids of green tea in its effectiveness for reducing hunger, reducing insulin, increasing energy, increasing focus, increasing circulation, and can I go on? And this is well studied and in the literature on this herb.
Well, then there's resveratrol and gardenia. And then to my surprise, because I was just asked this question, does L-glutamine help you lose weight? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have experience with that. And then lo and behold, what pops up while I'm doing this research was L-glutamine is a GLP-1 agonist, meaning having the same kind of activity. So I was so surprised to have such a quick answer from the universe. And I have one more.
Let me turn on glutamine first.
Oh, okay.
I've been using glutamine with my diet patients for years. We know that the GLP-1 agonist isn't really just working on the intestines. It's working on the brain. So when people were dieting and they would say, oh, I have little cravings, I tell them to take glutamine, because you know what I understood about glutamine? It's a glycogenic amino acid. And that means that it breaks down into the proteins, but it also breaks down into sugars. And those sugars go directly to the brain. So now I understand how it was working even better than when I was giving it for years. I've been using it for years for intestinal problems, intestinal inflammation, as well as for balancing appetite. Go on, Carol.
Okay, the other one I found was something I'm not familiar with. It's called myrcetin. It comes from a plant Myrissa rubra, and it's a flavonoid. So there are people studying that plant particularly for that GLP-1 activity, which kind of cool, a lot of choices here. And then I think maybe there's a lot more in the whole flavonoid family that probably work. So there's another twist to this. And what I wanted to find out was, can we make our own GLP-1 production better all by ourselves, right?
We certainly can. And one, let me just continue with the foods. An exceptional way is olive oil. Now, fats of all types can benefit, and there is a degree of benefit. That's why we feel more satisfied after we've eaten fatty protein, like a piece of steak with an avocado salad or salmon, rather than non-fatty proteins, which protein also in and of itself is a GLP-1 agonist, but it's milder. When you put fat with it, it's stronger. But olive oil is even stronger than that. Now, I don't know about avocado oil, very specifically on olive oil and the strength of that for reducing appetite and stimulating a degree of weight loss. Go on, Carol.
So, yes, on the olive oil, in fact, all fatty acids and nuts, avocados, eggs. Eggs have a huge effect.
Eggs are considered one of the best for making people feel satisfied when they eat. And it's really important. This egg white omelet, I don't know where that came from. But get it. You want the egg yellows. And the yellows are what satisfy you. But I just thought of something else. You know, there are GLP-1 receptors in your immune cells. And that's really important. We really do not know the effects of overstimulating this peptide continuously 24/7.
Yeah, we really don't. So fermentable fibers.
Very important. They say that, well, first of all, the fermentable fibers, but also when you put probiotics with proteins, you get a much stronger effect. And they're talking about a very specific probiotic, and it's called Bifidobacterium. And the Bifidobacterium with a protein seems to create a very, very high level of satiation, a feeling of being satisfied. I got more things too. The number to call is 212-209-2877. We expected to be having a conversation by now. We've thrown out a few controversial things, but we've got more. That's 212-209-2877. Give us a call and join the conversation. Carol, what do you think about exercise?
Exercise is indeed in there. Which exercise is the best? Anaerobic or aerobic? Weightlifting or doing the treadmill?
That one, I really don't know. You got to help me on that.
Yeah, I don't know it either.
No, when you ask the question, you have to know the answer before you ask it.
Yeah, you let me know. But I'll just go back to the list. So as you said, amino acids, the breakdown pieces of protein, peptides, which are not considered a protein, but they are chains of amino acids that are smaller in length then proteins are high fat with high fiber together is better. And even monosaccharides, the sugars, the simple sugars in some way will help. Some of this makes me wonder if the microbiome isn't really involved in this whole thing, like encouraging the intestines to be working at their finest if we do have a healthy microbiome.
They say that it's totally involved, that a healthy microbiome helps the peptides to be released, and it allows the body to feel satisfied with food. And then when you're eating the fatty acids, which you're talking about.
And the bacteria make fatty acids too.
Yeah, they break down into fatty acids. Allows the body to feel satisfied, like the butyrate. And the butyrate has a double function. One, it makes you feel satisfied. But number two, it helps maintain and heal the intestines. So this is a big circle. It's not just a little thing. It's a very big, big circle of health that we're talking about that you can create on your own. I was a reading where when people eat a sad diet, that's standard American diet, like a McDonald's or a Denny's or whatever, so you have minimal, if any, vegetables and starches, and that it blocks the body's ability to make GLP-1. So here you're eating these foods that are dead, and you can't feel satisfied. So when you're, just think about that, you're eating dead foods and there's no satisfaction. You want more and more and more. And then you're hungry faster. So you're caught in a circle there. But when you're eating foods with polyphenols and nutrients, your body feels satisfied through the intestines, and you're creating a new microbiome. And that's very essential to understand, that how it changes your body and how important it is. They talk about the fermented foods, but they also talk about, and this is interesting because I never thought this would happen, would be, they talk about whey proteins have a very high satisfaction rate. And cheeses do also, but whey protein even more so. They also talk about GABA and glycine. Well, GABA and glycine, I give those before bed. And I give those before bed to people on purpose because I want them to relax. But when you have the parasympathetic state, when you're eating, you're more allowed to release or stimulate these peptides to be released. So it's a combination of GABA, it's a combination of of relaxation as well as the ability to release these hormones. So eating in a calm state, chewing, these are all very important for your ability to feel satisfied and to digest. It's essential. Carol?
Okay, I wanted to bring up a little piece that you also told me that was in the study. And I also read that after you stop Ozempic or semaglutide, that you'll regain your weight within a year. But you had noted that they had a graph in the study with the 68 weeks of doing this, that they were actually starting to regain weight while they were still using the semaglutide. Is that not correct? Did I get that correct?
Yeah, and it's just a slight amount. But with that slight rise at the end, you can see it on the graph when you look at the study. What was happening? Why was it slightly going up as a group? We don't know that. We don't really know that. So what we want to do is look at, now for people who are morbidly obese, that would be a wonderful thing to get you started, to just get you started while you learn how to eat, to make you feel like it's possible, because there's nothing worse than the self-image that you have when your body and you're obese, your self-image. And I have seen people that won't go out to try to get jobs, who won't meet with their friends because they feel they're too fat. And I see that all the time, that it's a state of humiliation. Now, that isn't necessary. But at the same time, helping people, it's not weight loss we want. We want optimal health. We know there are side effects of negative health. Oh, guess what? Guess what happened, Carol?
We have a caller.
Hi, welcome. You're on WBAI. Join the conversation. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, please speak up.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi. Your name, please, and your question.
Okay.
You're on the radio.
I'm
live.
I'm not hearing you clearly. Hello?
What?
You hearing me?
May have to turn down your radio by you. It's confusing.
What is your question? Can you help
okay.
us?
Okay, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second.
For me. What is your question? Can you help
okay.
us?
Okay, you hearing me now?
Yes. I can hear you.
Okay, I have a question for, this is, I am on the radio?
Yes, caller, you're on the radio. You have to cut down your radio because you're listening to the radio where you should be listening to the phone.
Okay, I didn't want to go on the radio, but I just wanted to say something. That's why I called this number.
Yes, you're on the radio.
Okay, I want to say I make a donation for Garinol water.
Can I tell you something? What we'll have to do is we can't really speak to you about that right now. This is not Gary Knoll's show, but you'll have to speak with someone in that deals with premiums. I'm sorry, I can't deal with that. We're talking about weight loss, intestinal health, brain health,
relaxation, acid.
They all come together to create a sense and a feeling of being satisfied. So what would you recommend? I would recommend adding blueberries to your food, drinking green tea and drinking matcha tea. I would recommend doing that regularly. I would recommend olives and olive oils. And guess what? We got a couple more listeners. Hi.
Hi.
You're
Hi,
live on the AI.
Hi. How are you? To both
I'm
of
terrific.
You.
I'm having fun here.
Yes, let me tell you, I love you ladies. I just found out about you all, but I've been listening to BAI since the 80s. So,
well, we've been around for a while, so how
yes,
can I help you?
Okay.
And I'm glad you found us.
Yes. I just wanted to know more things in terms of diabetes, high blood pressure. Like, what are other things that you can use? Because I also I changed my diet back to being a vegan. And I find that that was helpful. And I think it was in January this year. That's when I found out I had diabetes. So,
are you overweight?
I didn't hear you.
Are you overweight?
No, I lost weight and everything before. And, you know, I've lost weight. So I'm between 148 and 152. And
okay.
I'm 5 feet two. And what happened is my A1C in March, I believe it was, they said it went down. No, January it was 14.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And that's when I had to go. Yes, I had to go to the hospital and everything. Then from there, recently I found out in, I think, early April, late March, they said it's number 6.
Oh, that's fabulous. What a good job you have done.
Yes, yes, and the help
really
from the nutritionist.
Wonderful. But
yes.
Now, first of all, we can't treat from here, but I can make generalized suggestions that I know
good.
Is helping.
Good.
And
good.
You would then take these to your doctor and may, if you want to, and ask the doctor about it.
Okay.
You know, what I would do, and I would get a 24-hour glucose monitor, and
uh-huh.
it's put on your arm, and you're measuring your glucose at all times. So you learn. It's a tool. It's brilliant.
I didn't know they had that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's not really expensive. And you
oh, my
learn
God.
What foods you can eat. You know what I found is that I could give some people with elevated blood sugar some beans, but they did not do well on lentils at all.
And
we
didn't know that.
With a glucose monitor. Whereas logically, I would think they would do well. So a 24-hour glucose monitor. So you eat a meal and you watch the monitor. I would also make sure that I don't eat between meals.
Exactly.
That is really, if you start to feel hungry, if your blood sugar isn't down, if it's down too low, you have to eat something.
Right.
But if it's down too low, I would do something like take capsules of Perfect Aminos.
Yes.
So you balance your blood sugar, you maintain your proteins. I would add olive oil and olives to my food when I eat, and I would keep, although some carbs are good, I would keep my carbs down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And I would take berberine.
Yeah.
I would take berberine. I think it's wonderful, and I would drink green tea or matcha tea.
I do. I drink the green tea. I have to do more of the but that there's a bread that I started eating. The nutritionist told me about it. It's called 647, and I also eat the Ezekiel bread.
Half of my plate is vegetables.
That's where the monitor would tell you if you it's good for you or not good for you. It could be good for one person.
Yeah, the monitor would be the power there. It would exactly what Carol said, tell you whether it's good for you. This is my first thought, and I might be right, might be wrong, is that I'm uncomfortable with the bread so much.
Okay.
That's my first thought, but I would really depend on the monitor. And you have to understand that your fructose level is not showing in your hemoglobin A1C. So you could be having a high fructose level and still have a lower hemoglobin A1C. So you really have to keep off the juices and off the fruits.
Okay. I thank you.
Good luck.
And
you've done a wonderful job. And we have someone else waiting. Are they still waiting, Reggie?
All right, go on.
Okay, so we're going to go on. call us back and tell us how you do, because we're really interested. You've done a wonderful job, and you are the definition of taking charge of your health.
Thank you. And look up black currant oil.
Pardon?
Black currant oil. Look that up.
Like cumin? Yeah, it's very good.
No, currant.
Oh, that's
currant.
Black currant?
A-N-T. Yes.
That's beautiful. We both love it.
Yes.
But it is an omega-6, but it is an anti-inflammatory because it's so high. But you want to be aware of that because you don't want to get your omega-6s too high either.
Yes.
But that's a good one.
Thank you, ladies. You all are great. Thank you so much. Oh, my God.
My pleasure. Good luck. Hi.
Yeah, the caller hung up.
Oh. Okay.
I think we should talk about being a WBAI buddy. We've got just a few minutes left.
We've got 2 minutes. And as you hear people when they call in, they know us. They feel familiar. They feel that they can talk with us. And why? Because they're our buddies. And you are our buddies also. You are there. You're listening. You're getting information that can change you and your family's and your community's life. And that's the power of WBAI. We don't look at things superficially and then tell you what to think. We do deep dives into subjects and tell you how to utilize this knowledge. Knowledge isn't knowledge when you hear it. It's knowledge when you enact it. And we give you the means to enact the information that...
Can I quote you? Can I quote you, Corinne? Because you just made a speech and you said knowledge is incorporation.
Please quote me.
Beautifully said.
The number to call is 212-209-2950. And please donate to support this program. This is a jewel in the center of the radio dial. It is a jewel. It's been a jewel for over 60 years. Let's not lose it. The number to call, 212-209-2950. And as you can hear, Carol and I feel so privileged to be on this radio and sharing this information with you. And it's fun for us. Here we are laughing and we love it. So please support the radio, support this program. The number to call, 212-209-2950, or go on the internet, give to WBAI.org. And Carol, it's always a pleasure. I always learn.
Me too. I've learned more about this Ozempic than I only had an inkling of before, and I was so happy to get more information, so a better understanding of what we're dealing with. And obesity, as we said at the beginning of the show, is a big problem. But we have more than one tool. And I hope we got that point across, that not only can you turn to this drug, but you have other options too. So I'm feeling really happy that we're able to bring that.
Thank you. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.